Welcome to Spiritually Raw. We expose and explore controversial truths, myths, and theories surrounding the spirit world. Guests includes investigators, debunkers, and skeptics of the supernatural, unexplained, and flat-out unimaginable. Content discussed on this show is not necessarily the opinion of the cast of Spiritually Raw, and topics quite often are for mature audiences only. This show is not intended to replace any medical, financial, or legal advice, and is for entertainment purposes only. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. Hey, everybody, what's going on? I know you have a show to watch, so let me get real quick into this with you. Okay, so Ascended Masters, you're watching right now, browse, select, ascend. It's very easy to use. All you have to do is scroll down here. You're going to see the different categories, sessions, courses, products, entertainment, books, conscious business growth. All you do is you simply click on the category that's resonating with you or that you're in need of, and you're going to see a video directory of some of the greatest minds out there. And within 5 to 7 minutes, you'll find out who that person is, what their style is, and if they're going to help you on your journey called life. It's a very easy formula to follow right here. And also too, if you're one of those who does have a product or service that you think that will be a benefit to others and you'd like to be on Ascended Masters, our email is in the description below. It's askspirituallyraw@gmail.com. We'll set up a time to chat and see how you can make a difference in the world for people. So hope you're enjoying the site, everybody. Thanks for sharing this and much love to you. And most importantly, enjoy the show. We'll see you next time. Hello, everybody. How are you? And welcome to Spiritually Raw. Thank you, as always, for your energy exchange with us today. And we hope you woke to the most miracle morning and are also having the most fortunate day today. So do you all remember Vernon Mahabali? This is his third time he's come on the show. This is really cool. I'm always excited when Vernon comes on because he is the, gosh, I mean, he's got the palm reading thing down. You know, so you don't hear a lot about that. You don't see a lot about that. You know what I mean? So
it's really cool. I know.
So, but for those of you who are just checking out Vernon for the first time, April's going to get you up to speed in just a minute. I do want to thank everybody for staying connected with us. As always, our links are in the description below. And if you haven't already, kindly hit the subscribe button and turn on the notification bell. So when we do get fantastic guests like Vernon on, you are notified. So thanks and much love for that. I miss anything?
Yes. If you would please just take a quick moment and hit the like button and subscribe. And also, we would greatly appreciate if you would kindly share this show. Thank you so much. And without further ado, let's welcome Vernon Mahabali. He's a world-renowned palmist. Vernon has given literally hundreds of lectures. He's trained hundreds of students. And he is the palmistry consultant also for Coast to Coast AM. If you have never experienced a palm reading, it is so extraordinary. It's not like any other type of reading you've ever experienced. It's very comprehensive, and it is also very, very mind-blowing. Vernon has the ability from the palm to tell you things that you just can't even fathom. It's really extraordinary, past, present, and future. So if you want to check it out and you want to get an awesome palm reading, go to thepalmistryinstitute.com and connect with Vernon. You guys are going to love it.
And really, for all you junkies out there who are into predictions and what's going to happen in your life, it is really a cool experience. I actually had the good fortune of doing it myself with my palm, and he's pretty spot on. This is why we continually ask him back. So Vernon, much love to you, brother. How are you? Happy New Year. Thank you for being here.
Well, thank you for that introduction. I don't deserve it, and thank you for having me, and happy too.
Yeah, happy
likewise.
Too
both of you.
So there's a lot going on right now, and I know you got some stuff here we can cover because there's a lot of people now. Okay, we've just obviously turned that proverbial corner. Now we enter into 2022. So now it's like, oh, now what do I do? So we wanted to bring you on here from a very different approach, like April was sharing about the palmistry point of view and how you actually connect with things and the way you do it. But the transmigration of the human soul into 2022, like going the human soul, the 2022, the transmigration of the human soul. Can we go there for a minute and tell us what that looks like for us?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So yeah. What are you thinking on that one?
So do you want me to tell you about 22, what I'm seeing on hands?
Yeah.
Okay. So an astrologer would look at this year and see that Pluto is in Capricorn now, and Pluto is not only in Capricorn, but it's retrograde. Mm. It's really in a tenacious situation. So what I'm seeing on people's hands is that this is going to be a very tenacious year. It's going to be ultimately good, but there will be a lot of pushback. And the last time Pluto was in retrograde and in Capricorn was in 1776.
Pushback in what way?
The government might be more heavy-handed and people will push back against that.
Okay, that's good.
It 2 years ago, people in good faith just said, okay, let me wear the masks, let me do this, let me do that. Even if people weren't 100% behind it, they felt there's something kind of weird about this. But yeah, Everybody did it in good faith. Now we're seeing airlines, people are walking off the job with airlines. Airlines are starting to change things. Even our American military, people are walking off the job. Some companies are just saying, we can't take this. We're going to change this. We're not going to follow the mandate of the administration. Other companies are going along with it. But there's what Pluto in Capricorn means ultimately, and in retrograde, is that things are exposed. There's a huge expose. And where I see the expose in people's hands is that with the vaccine, I think people are going to become more and more aware, not in the mainstream news. They're going to suppress it, obviously. They suppress everything. But lots and lots of people will start being aware of how these vaccines are affecting one's heart. Mm-hmm. That's what I see in people's hands. In other words, the blood clots. I mean, I was talking to someone who is really into European soccer, and he was telling me that something like 60 incredible athletes have just either passed on or had heart attacks on the field. So This is the area that I see that people are going to talk about with the vaccine aspects, and people are going to become more and more cautious and hesitant and reluctant to take the vaccines as they are now, but they're also going to expose what's in the vaccines. So the government will become more heavy-handed, but people will become more rebellious.
All right. Well, that's good, because we need that. We need people to say, you know, enough is enough. I've had it. Stand up for your sovereignty.
But the flip side of that, I want to ask you this on the flip side of that, on the we need people to stand up. Spiritually, as they came in here, these people that did take the vaccine, that are going through their things, were they just willing participants in this game of life? I mean, was that part of karma or destiny for them to say, okay, there's going to be a moment in time maybe that, you know, this will happen and this will create.
They're innocent. They're just innocent. They're not critical thinkers. They're just innocent. They're being taken advantage of. And, you know, it may take a few lifetimes for them to like wake up and become a little bit more cautious and careful and prudent, you see, about things around them. They're innocent. A lot of them are just, they don't understand they're not critical thinkers. So
I think that really just nailed it on the head. They're just truly, they're innocent, they're lovely people, but they just don't think with critical thinking skills. And that's all there is to it. You know what's ironic though? A lot of them have critical thinking skills when it comes to their business or what they're doing today, but they're lacking that intellectual, that higher level, that spiritual level of, critical thinking, really.
Yes, and that's part of spirituality. In other words, after about 100, 200 human births, a person will start to question stuff. They'll start to ask, what is the purpose of life? What am I here for? How come I never seem to be happy doing everything I'm supposed to do? I'm making money. I'm in relationships. I've got the latest car, but I'm not happy. So when that starts to happen, when people start to question stuff, that's when they really begin to utilize what this human form of life is about, which is inquiry. And a lot of these people, let's say, who are taking the vaccines and acquiescing to it are not really inquiring about it. They're not thinking, what's the goal? So the purpose of human life is to say to oneself, what is the goal? What am I here for? Is there a God? What's the plan? Why do I have to suffer here? So when a person asks these questions, then they they're actually utilizing the human form of life, which is this human form of life is meant for self-realization. And self-realization means to question stuff. It means to be cautious and careful. It means to be prudent and watchful.
Let me ask you this then. So let's say, for example, Vernon, that so you've studied all the way back to the Mahabharata, the Hindu text, the Hindu spiritual book, if you would, all the way back for thousands.
I'm a follower of the Vedas. I'm a follower of Bhagavad Gita. So I grew up as a Roman Catholic, and I turned to the Indian subcontinent for my answer.
That's good. That's good discussion to have with the family over dinner one day, right? But you know what happens many lifetimes, as you refer to, like we keep going through lifetimes. So was this particular lifetime that we're all in right now, this experience with the, are lifetimes like this kind of preordained, meaning that are they already set in stone? Like, okay, everybody born in this time is going to experience this. The lesson is, do you use your critical thinking or you do this? Or are there legitimate dark forces in play here that are actually doing this, that have external control, influence, if you would, or external influence over the souls that are here right now?
Great question, Jay. This particular age that we live in the Vedic view, they call it a yuga, and we're in what's called Kali Yuga, and it started about 5,000 years ago, 3102 BC. And so the souls being born now, that includes me, are not so spiritually aware. It's called the Iron Age, or sometimes called Krita Yuga, which means that it's a very difficult the souls being born now tend to be a little bit more materialistic than the souls born in previous yugas, the spiritual practices tend to be a lot easier because it is such a difficult age. And at the same time, because people are in other words, part of this Kali Yuga is that human beings are sometimes called Dvipadupashu. In Sanskrit, it means two-legged animals. In other words, people are just okay with the animal propensities of eating and sleeping and mating and defense. They're just okay with that. If they have that, they're happy. But in this Kali Yuga, it's harder for people to say, well, what's the point of all this? Why am I not happy? Why am I? In other words, that's very difficult for most people. Mm-hmm. Most people born in this age. This age lasts 632,000 years. So as it progresses, well, we are actually in a golden age now. We just started it in 1999, and it really is starting now. So there are golden ages within the Kali Yuga for sure. But because people they don't inquire about the absolute truth, they can't identify when they're being taken advantage of. So the dark forces, the reptilians, or what the Sanskrit texts called the Rakshasas. Rakshasa literally means man eater. These are people who are what people in this Western world will call people who worship Satan and do all their horrible, horrible, horrible practices, blood drinking and all that. I don't want to get into it. But that's why you have a cabal that can completely hypnotize people and entrance people into taking their vaccines and this type of thing, because they know how to hypnotize people. So subconsciously. So most people are innocent. Most people are innocent, and they have to go through trials and tribulations to say to themselves, why am I suffering in this material world? When a human being starts to say, I why am I suffering in this material world? That's a very big stage. In other words, when one at least philosophically understands that there's no happiness in this material world, pleasure is there, happiness is there, but it's temporary. Mm-hmm. But when one at least philosophically says to oneself, there's no real satisfaction here. I'm doing everything I'm supposed to be doing, but there's no real satisfaction. There's no real contentment here. Then the person starts saying, well, what am I doing here? How do I get out of here? What's the process of liberation? Who is God? You see, so the souls being born now in Kali Yuga really kind of don't want that. They kind of want to live animalistic lives, and they're entitled to that. Mm-hmm. Now, having said that, we do have a free will, and many souls who associate with, let's say, saintly people will move forward, you see. So most souls in this Kali Yuga are being influenced by the reptilians, the Rakshasas, for sure. You know, they're doing.
So Vernon, okay, so let me ask you this. If we are living in, let's say, people call it a simulation, a game, alternate reality, whatever you want to call it, then are all of these people or entities players in the game? Let's say we're all players in this game, right? So ultimately, are there not any victims really? Because everybody is playing a specific role, even though
if one cannot identify evil, they're bound to become taken over by it. So they will have to suffer. Mm-hmm. I don't see this as an alternative in palmistry, in my practice. I don't see this as an alternative reality or simulation. It's real. I mean, you know, this body, this physical body is real, but it's temporary. Mm-hmm. So yes, people who are influenced by these Rakshasas have to suffer, but the whole point of suffering in this material world is that it's actually a good thing ultimately, because it brings purification. If one is constantly just enjoying, they won't inquire about the absolute truth. Mm-hmm. But if someone is actually saying, hey, I'm suffering, I'm not happy, what's the problem here? You know, then that suffering becomes purification, and then they inquire about God.
Vernon, let me,
so
let
in
me
one ask, sense, suffering is good.
Let me you ask see. You this.
It has a higher context. Now, the most important thing about spiritual life is that when people start to inquire about self-realization, they think, okay, well, are there people on this planet who are spiritually aware? And they are there. There are many spiritual people walking on this planet who are what they would call a Shaktivesh avatar or pure devotee.
So I just want to make sure I just want to make sure I got what you just said there, because there's a lot of talk about this, and it's really just pretty fascinating to get your perspective on this. So what I'm understanding you saying is that, you know, this is just a real thing. We're just reincarnated to, this is real right here. We're touching, this is real, it's temporary, but it's not a simulation. It's not a matrix of any sort.
That's a speculation, the matrix, the simulation. Mm-hmm. That's a complete, absolute, no, it's real. This is real. We are spiritual. We're a spiritual soul. The soul is within in the innermost core of the heart. We're eternal, and this body is just temporary. That's all. It's real. You know, if I hit my hand on the cement, I'm gonna get hurt. It's real. The cement's real, but it's temporary.
So
my hand is real, but it's temporary.
So when people talk about an illusion, being in the matrix, being this, is that would that be,
is that a trap?
Whether they know they're saying it or not, whether there may be good intent with it, is that thoughts that are coming from the dark, from a dark place to keep them?
I think they're trying to understand the absolute truth. No problem at all. But it's kind of like in the New Age thought, there's this idea that we're all, you know, everything is one, we're all one. And that's good to understand that we're all one, because we are part and parcel of God. We're all brothers and sisters. And we all share the desire to love and help each other and to serve others. We all share that. But even higher than that, the New Age world is stuck in this idea of oneness. But higher than oneness is individuality. And it's by individuality that we love, you see. So one of the things that you were asking before is are we stuck in this? Is it our destiny? No, we have a free will. Individuality is all about free will. God gives us an individuality, never takes away our independence, and we always have a free will. In one lifetime, we can go back to the kingdom of God. We can become pure. In fact, the thing is that the problem in this society is that in the Western and the Eastern society is that people don't know where the saintly people are. They can't recognize a saintly person. In other words, the whole principle of spiritual life, the entire master key to understanding spiritual life and to advance in spiritual life is to associate with those who are living a devotional life. And what does that mean? That means that they're completely free from the desire to enjoy the material world. As Christ said, live in the material world, but don't be of it. Mm-hmm. And that's perfect knowledge. So there are saintly people on this planet who are not necessarily famous and well-known, but they are completely detached from enjoying this material world. They have completely detached from lust, anger, and greed. And they're sweet. They're tolerant. They're humble. In fact, there's even a woman in Miami. Her name is Shamarani. She has an ashram there. And many people go to her for spiritual association.
Because they feel disconnected where they're at in the material world.
And yeah, so- I mean, look at our Pope. He's a travesty. All of them have been. I mean, he's just a politician. He's one of the dark forces. He's one of the cabal. Mm-hmm. So people don't know what a saintly personality is. And the whole key to spirituality is it's just like who you associate, you would become like. If you associate with business people, you become good at business. If you associate with criminals, you become good at being a criminal.
Yes,
right.
Yes,
if exactly. you associate with saintly people, you take on their qualities. What is the qualities of a saintly person? Mercy, tolerance, humility, happiness, complete detachment from this material world. And that's where the happiness is. We don't find happiness in this material world because we're attached to something that's temporary. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let me ask you this then. Your view on, because a lot of this being thrown around there, and this is great. Thanks for this conversation. Is the dimensions, for example. So everybody now starts talking about dimensions. Like, okay, well, we're trying to get to a thoughts are we're in a third dimension is what we're told, which we're trying to get to a fifth dimension. Or there may be a fourth that gets in between there somewhere, and a fifth, and then higher and higher and higher. Is that the way to look at it? And I understand this from a consciousness standpoint, but is that the way to look at it? Like, hey, we're at this lower place right here, and there's a linear up climbing of going to this place, and the higher we get, the higher we get to source. Is that the right way of looking at it, or how would you perceive it?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of like, it's a great question, Jay. It's kind of like people who do astral projection. So they see all kinds of entities. They see ghosts. They see spirits. They may even see an angel. But that's still part and parcel of the material world. They're not out of the material world. The highest dimension is to be unattached to the material world and to be completely attached to the spiritual world. And what does that mean to be attached to the spiritual world? It means to have complete devotional faith. It means to be a very sweet person, very humble, very tolerant, merciful, where you're joyous. The constitutional position of our soul. In other words, in Sanskrit, the soul is called the Jivatma. Jivatma. And the word Jivatma means spiritual soul. And the constitutional position of the Jivatma is service, devotional service. That's our constitutional position. And what it's made up of is pure devotional energy. It's I don't even want to say energy. It sounds too impersonal. It's pure devotion. Our soul is actually an emotional, devotional entity. And it's what's called Satchidananda. We're eternal. We're blissful and happy, and we have awareness and knowledge. And that's the position of the soul, to love. And this is why the Rakshasas, the reptilians, why they hate us so much, because they don't have that as part of their soul. Mm-hmm. When they see a human being hug and kiss and share love and warmth, They get
they don't have that capability.
They don't have that.
They become envious. They don't want money. They don't want really power and they want power and control. But what they really dislike is that they're envious of our being able to love. But that's the soul's position. That's the soul's position is, as they say, unconditional love, pure devotional service.
Will there ever be a time on the planet where, I mean, because don't you need the balance of both the good and or the light and the dark? Will there ever be a time where it'll all be light, or will there always be?
No. The material world is made for those who come into the material world who want to live separately from God. There's a reason for this. There's a reason for this. In other words, the material world, although it's temporary and it has a beginning and it's destroyed every now and then, it's still eternal. It's still a part of the of God's cosmos, because there are souls who want to come here. And in other words, the material world exists so that people can do their nefarious stuff apart from spiritual stuff, but you still have to suffer for it. You see, so God never takes away our independence. So if we want to come to the material world and do horrible stuff, then, you know,
is it, would this be considered, people refer to this as a
prison planet?
A prison planet. Number one, they refer to it as a version of hell, or any.
No, it's not hell.
It's not hell. Okay.
No, hell. There are hells though. They're below us. So people like the Henry Kissingers and definitely Fauci, I mean, they're probably creating a hell specially for him. Mm-hmm. I mean, think of, you know, you cannot give, if you give even one prick of pain to someone, you have to suffer for that, you know, unless it's just innocent.
Can you balance?
Think of all the people that he's hurt and killed. He's going to have to suffer for everybody that he's hurt and killed.
Can you balance that out in the same lifetime? So let's say, for example, Fauci, obviously a very extreme example there, but let's say, for example, someone did something, well, you know, it is what it is, right?
What could he possibly even do to make that
wrong, right? That's what I'm saying. I don't want to use Fauci as an example, but I want to say, let's say, for example, you know, anybody just like they did something, they did a nefarious act, they did it one time, and then they're like, they kind of regretted it. Can they make up for that in this
particular
lifetime?
Absolutely, it's your attitude. You know, it absolutely. You know, saintly people sometimes get into difficult situations themselves because it's the material world. There's always trials and tribulations, and you know, it's let go, because it's your attitude, it's your intention. If you're trying to be a good person, it's called gyan. Gyan means that if you're trying to walk the path of God consciousness, then all your sinful activity is burned up immediately. It's your intention.
You know, Vernon, sure. I want to ask you this, because you said that this was like our choice to come here to get away from God, if you would. But then when you look at it aesthetically, you look at whatever, you see billions of people praying, trying to get connected to something. A lot of times you see them in a state of suffering. When they came down here, or when we all came down here, did many of us say, holy smokes, I changed my mind, can I get back? Did we have that thought process and now we have to live through it?
We've never been in the spiritual world yet. Anyone who's in this material world has never yet gone to the spiritual world, or never been in the spiritual world. We took our birth in an area called the Tathastas Shakti. It's a Sanskrit term. It's a kind of a demilitarized zone between the spiritual world and the material world. So souls are constantly being created. And so some souls can go to the spiritual world, and some souls decide to go to the material world and to experience the pleasures of the material world. So any soul that is in the material world has never been in the spiritual world yet. But if you think about it, even if we've been here for time immemorial,
where do you go when you cross over?
A person can live in the spiritual world even within this body, if they're free from lust and greed and envy and attachment. Mm-hmm. You can be completely joyful and happy in this world by being in love with God and other living entities and being humble and tolerant. So at the end of life, whatever one thinks about at the time of death, that state they'll achieve without fail. So if someone thinks, hey, I'm in love with the Supreme God and Goddess, and they think of those two, they'll go back to the kingdom of God far beyond the heavens, because that's, even the heavenly planets, people, you see. So the thing is, a spiritual, you can understand a spiritual personality by how they treat others. Mm-hmm. Love, it's stated in the Sanskrit literature, Atato Brahma Jignasha. It means love has nothing to take, it only gives. So there's a story in the Vedic literature. It's talking of, it talks about there's a mentor, a guru, who's walking with one of his disciples, and he is he sees a scorpion being trapped in a little bit of a river. So he takes the scorpion, puts it in his hand, and throws it. The scorpion bites him. And then the scorpion is all bewildered and jumps back in there again into the water. And then the guru takes the scorpion and throws it again. He gets bit again, but the scorpion runs away. And the disciple asks him, why did you do that? If you knew you were going to get stung. And he said, it's the scorpion's nature to sting, but it's my nature to give, to save, to give mercy. So a spiritual personality is all they don't want anything from anybody. All they want to do is help and serve. Mm-hmm. That's the constitutional nature of the soul. Service, yeah. Eternal service, devotional service.
When we come back,
and when one is in that framework of mind, they're completely happy. Nothing bothers them.
Vernon, when we reincarnate, we go through the recycling machine, if you would. Do we reconnect with the same people that we did in previous lifetimes, or is it just it's a totally? I know people always like, well, that was your mother in a past life, that was your father. And is there any truth to that, from what you understand, or are we constantly recycling with new souls and new people? Well, how have you been able to understand it?
The longest I've ever seen two people be together is 7 lifetimes. And it doesn't just mean in a relationship with love. But yeah, that's rare. It's very common, for instance, if you've met someone or ourselves, you know, we're not too attached to our parents. Our parents give us a lot of problems and we give our parents a lot of problems. It means that, you know, we haven't really had a relationship before with them in a previous life. Those souls that we just immediately just love and care for, we've had a relationship with them, but 2-3 lifetimes at the most. It's kind of like there's a river and a wave brings 2 straws together, and then they stay together for a while, these 2 straws, and another wave breaks them apart. So we're constantly meeting new people, just as in this life we're constantly meeting new people. So definitely, if a father or a mother give so much tremendous love to a little girl or their little boy, definitely they've known them in a previous lifetime, maybe 1, 2, 3 lifetimes. Hmm. But, you know, the wave of the vicissitudes of life will break them apart again. Yeah. Of course, when we go back to the spiritual world, we'll see everybody.
Yeah. That's a whole party in itself, right?
What's your thoughts on multiple consciousnesses,
like multiverses,
multiple us's living simultaneous lives.
According to palmistry in the Vedic view, it's bogus. In other words, our consciousness, there's this idea that we're here and then we probably could be experiencing another lifetime in another area.
Right.
I don't see that in palmistry. No, we're here. This is where we are. The soul is within the core of the heart. The soul is like our eternal battery. And this is where we are. We're here.
So is there no future self of us anywhere? Like a future version? Like, you know, they like soul splitting and they say it's fractals. You got fractals all over the place.
It makes absolutely no sense spiritually. Mm. It's a nice thought. It's a nice philosophy, but it makes no sense spiritually. Yeah, but you know, we're constantly evolving ourselves.
I get where you're coming from.
I mean, your point,
look at you two. You two are constantly, you're meeting all kinds of spiritually interested people. You're constantly trying to advance your consciousness. That's what we're here to do, advance our consciousness. So maybe even in 10 years, you'll be even more advanced. Obviously you will be. So the goal of life is advancement of consciousness.
Yeah.
And, you know, even politically in the Vedic view, in the old ages, you know, millions of years ago, like in Satya Yuga, it was understood that the goal of a leader, whether a political person or they run a government or whatever, the goal of a leader is one, to advance the consciousness of their constituents for this life and the next. That's the real ultimate goal of a leader.
That would be very nice.
So then we really then, from how you're understanding it and your learnings, Vernon, is that we need to maintain in the present moment and
yes.
That's really our gift right now is a present. It's not any version of the past that we can't see, any version of the future that is yet to be seen. We're
in the now in that respect.
So what about this then, Vernon? So people, what is your theory on this when people are like, oh, you got to go back to your past lives, correct everything, reshift it
to heal what's going on? Right.
That all a bunch of BS too?
No, what? I mean, as an astrologer, palmist, you know, I do look at the one life, two life, three lives, just to see where a person came from. In other words, it's kind of like looking at a tree. When we're looking at a tree, we're not seeing all the roots that are underground, but they could be 3, 4, 5, 6 times as extensive as what we see above ground.
Right.
So our past lives are important to see, so that an astrologer can see, where did this person come from? What are their talents? What are their abilities? In our past lives, we're able to see what our challenges were. Because sometimes
is there any truth from your perspective of having to clear stuff that happened in your past life that you feel like might be?
No, just be aware of it. All these people that try to clear away their traumas and this and that, they're just wasting their time. Mm-hmm. It's important just like to know what you've been through and to just say, hey, I'm going to change it.
Right.
You know, we can change our life in a second if we wanted to.
That's true.
Yeah, yeah, it's absolutely true.
You know, why dwell on the past? You know, who hasn't had a terrible childhood experience, you know? Yeah. I mean, I have, you know, I can count on my one hand how many my friends had good, you know, parents, you know. Yeah. So no, it's not a good idea to just, what's important is to do devotional practices that purify us.
Yeah, people come back and say, let's say, for example, you know, you had family members that were close, but one did something to another one in another life. Do they come back to say, I better fix that in this life, or I need to make up to that person in another life? Do they try to redo that cycle again, like kind of just to come, you know, is there anything to that, again, based on what you've learned?
Yeah, in other words, you can definitely see sometimes two siblings were almost like enemies in a previous life. Mm-hmm. Like I remember doing a reading for a woman, you know, a few years ago, and she said, I love my sister, but I can't stand her.
Right.
So, you know, you could see they tripped each other up in the previous lifetimes, you see.
Our bodily
relationships, it doesn't really mean much. I mean, if we're eternal, we've had billions of parents, billions of friends, billions of lovers, you know, these relationships are just temporary.
Will we go through like somewhat of a, when people, this is such a fascinating conversation with you, Vernon. Thanks for this, brother. Is that, will we go through like some form of a review when we leave this earth? Like, so is there some sort of guide per se, or angel, or some sort of, you know, all loving that says, okay, take a glimpse of what you just did in this past life, because we're going to put you in, we're going to get you ready for the next one. Does that actually happen? So what does that even look like?
Yeah. If a person, okay. So when Christ said there's a Father God, the Son, him, a guru, and the Holy Ghost, what he was referring to is an invisible, spark of God. He called it the Holy Ghost. In Sanskrit, what it's termed is our Antaryami. And it simply means that there is actually there's actually God within our heart, noticing our activities. He's four-armed form. He's a Vishnu form. And there's actually, God is actually within our heart, miniature. Our soul in this material world is 1/10,000th the size of the tip of a hair. So if we take the upper tip of a hair, we cut it into 100 pieces, and we take one of those pieces and cut it into another 100 pieces, that's the size of the soul.
Wow.
Well, Vishnu is even smaller than that. So he accompanies us from body to body to body. And he's been doing that. And when he sees that someone is trying to attain spiritual life, he will put that person into contact with advanced spiritual people until that person becomes perfect, until that person advances and they become a pure devotee of God.
What's
so help? It's actually God within the heart that sitting right next to our soul, yeah, who is guiding us.
What's a healthy way to look at this journey called life, Vernon, from your perspective? So would you look at it as like, okay, we got to get closer to source. We got to get God. This is our destination. But we also say along the way that, you know, this is really a game of life that we're playing right now. Is that a healthy attitude to look at this? Like I'm in not necessarily a simulation, but I'm in a game of life and these things are going to play out how they're supposed to play out. I'll recycle again. I mean, do you think if some people were to look at it that way, does that give them more of a sense of freedom? And my follow-up question to that real quick, while you could tag on that, is should we all be, and I don't mean this in a negative way, but should we be preparing so we're in a better state of mind upon our passing? Should we be preparing for some form of a death in our mind? Should we be looking to
death? Death should be at the forefront, because at some point, it could be tomorrow, it could be in a month, it could be in 5 years, it could be in 50 years, but death is always there. And whatever activities we've done in this life will be tested at the time of death. Whatever we're attached to, we'll think about at the time of death.
How many exit points do we have?
What do you mean?
Like throughout our lifetime, do we only have one grand exit point, or do we have multiple exit points? And sometimes we take that turn and sometimes we detour.
At any moment, we can look at the devotional aspects. In other words, to fully answer your question and Jay's question, the big mistake with modern, Western religion, Judeo-Christian, Muslim, is that they view God as this heavy dude, fearful. There's an awe and reverence, but there's a fear. Mm-hmm. In real spiritual life, in true spiritual life, in Vedic spiritual life, in actual spiritual devotional life, God is seen as the most blissful, wonderful, happy, loving, merciful personality. There's a God and a goddess. Mm-hmm. There's sometimes they're called Radha and Krishna. Sometimes they're called Vishnu, Lakshmi, like that. But in true spiritual life, and even the demigods and the higher planets, they understand this. You can't really love somebody if you're fearful of them. And this is the great problem people see Christ as a loving, warm personality, but they see God as some heavy dude that's going to throw souls in heaven or hell. But this is the antithesis of who God is. Our soul is part and parcel of God. We are truly devotional entities. So how can someone who's not like that make us? So in the Vedic version, and this is what I see in hands. What do we really want? What makes us happy? Closeness, connection, communing, intimacy. You know, we see sometimes that even people who are poor are much more happier than people who live in Beverly Hills. Some of the most miserable people I've ever met have everything in Hollywood, entertainment, live in Beverly Hills. They have no love in their life, no connection, no closeness, no intimacy. So that's what we're searching for. So again, in the New Age metaphysical world, this idea of let's go back to source, spirit moved me, the great oneness. Again, this is the problem with the growing up in the Western world, because source is something impersonal, but actually in the spiritual world, God is the most loving, wonderful, blissful personality. And when, if we were to see him in this material world, we'd just cry because mm-hmm. of his beauty, and we'd faint. We wouldn't be able to, you know, see him. In other words, the most powerful aspect of Vishnu or Krishna, of God, is not his power or majesty. It's his love. It's his beauty.
Mm-hmm.
God's beauty is again, if we were to see him, we would just faint and we would cry.
Yeah.
And in the spiritual world, God and his devotees and the goddess Radha, they're all in love with each other. They're always crying in tears of joy. And that's the difference between the material world and the spiritual world. The material world is based on fear. The mm-hmm. spiritual consciousness is based on joy. Mm-hmm. And what is that joy? It's not an impersonal thing. It's actually love, closeness, and connection.
Mm-hmm.
To be in love with every living entity.
Mm-hmm.
To have complete love and compassion for all living
entities. What about the thought then, taking that theory, and we're supposed to love everything, so would that be then contradictory of saying that these reptilians or whatever you want to call them, these dark energies, should we not be fearing them or talking so negative? Should we be?
Well, yeah, it's a good question. A devotee of God can recognize someone who is nefarious or evil. So you just ignore them. You cause them no problem and you don't let them affect you.
Got it.
In other words, it's not like we should have, you know, we should just, you know, wish them well
mm-hmm.
and hope that they understand hope, some billions of lifetimes in the future that they understand the futility of what they're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But we should wish them well, because in a sense, they are also part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. But we don't just, you know, give our love to people who don't deserve it.
Doesn't necessarily mean we have to hang out and be best friends with
exactly.
them. Yeah,
exactly.
I understand what you're saying. But we do have to respect the fact that they're, what you're saying is that we have to respect the fact that they also have been made by our Creator.
Right.
Yes, exactly.
Got it.
Okay. We associate with those who can help us advance.
Mm-hmm.
And we give mercy to those who are not as advanced as us, and we ignore those who would try to cause us harm. But we have compassion for everyone.
Theory, okay, so hear me out on this one. So taking that theory, what are they here to help us advance? Is that their role?
They couldn't care less about that. But we could see that way. In other words, a devotee of God, he or she is going to see every problem in this material world, everything that happens in a good way or a bad way, as, hey, this is my path to advancement.
Mm-hmm.
God is giving me this problem in order for me to advance. God is giving me this struggle so I can remember them more. The divine couple.
But you're definitely right. They could absolutely care less.
Do we actually evolve?
Yeah.
Do we generally, because we go, as we go through different lifetimes, Vernon, do we actually evolve, or are there times where we actually devolve? We go backwards in our reincarnations, if you would.
Yeah. If a person is actively seeking out devotional personalities, they will continue to advance. God in the heart will see to that. If we're actually trying to advance and we're trying to give up attachment to this material world, and we're trying to give up lust and greed, and we're trying to develop the qualities of love and tolerance, then our path will continue to advance based on God within the heart, Vishnu in the heart. Continuing to put us in contact with saintly personalities.
Got it.
What about this, Vernon? If you're a person, I mean, you're a person, obviously, and you cross over, do you ever reincarnate back as anything other than a human?
Oh, absolutely. Oh, there's no question. Most people on this planet will become animals or less. Yeah. There's no question about that, because they're living like animals. I mean, for instance, I mean, this is a very gross example, but look at someone who's a bum on the street, you know, what they would call a homeless. I mean, the way in which they live, they going into different, the way they eat, it's kind of like rats. Mm-hmm. So how can they possibly get a human body in their next life? They're going to become a rat. But yeah, most people in this lifetime, if they've lived like animals, they'll become like animals and they'll be happier as animals. Because a lot of times people want to just have a lot of sex and eat a lot, but you know, a monkey can have much more sex than we can. Human life is meant for self-realization. It's not meant for eating and sleeping and just, you know, it's meant for higher consciousness. It's meant for that. So if a person wastes their human form of life, of course they can become a reptile or a whale or sure, definitely.
But and can then, an animal then, a dolphin in its next lifetime can revert into a human?
Animals are always moving up. So there's 8,400,000 species of life. And that includes, for instance, there's 900,000 types of aquatics. There's 1,100,000 types of reptiles. And it goes on like that. And there's 400,000 species of human beings. That's including everybody from the saintly people to the Rakshasas. But animals are always, a soul within an animal is always going up to the next until they get a human body. A human being can go up or down. Mm-hmm. They can go to the heavens, they can go to hell, or they can go back to Godhead.
Depending it's on what happened. Them. I got it. You know, this has been absolutely fascinating, man, having this conversation with you. And, you know, thank you for this. It's definitely a very direct approach towards life. And remember, because how do they say it? They say, yesterday's history, tomorrow is a mystery, today is the present, which is why they call it a gift.
Right? I love it.
I did too, and I saw it in a Disney movie. And they come up with the best line sometimes. But I think, wasn't that something like that? But I think that's true, though. We, at the end of the day, you're right about that. I mean, I totally agree with you like that. We do lose sight of the present so much. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We do. You can tell that. I mean, it's so... we do, everybody does it. Think about what was behind, and you don't think about that now, but you're right in the now. And I think
Jay, the past is gone. So we've all had traumas. I've had, you know, I had a terrible family life, but you know, so what, who cares? When I was 20 years old, I lived in an ashram for 5 years. I became a palmist. I meet incredible people. I don't even worry about my previous, you know, when people say, oh, I can't do this because my family treated me like this and all that. I said, get over it. Come on, move forward.
Exactly. Yeah.
You know, who cares? Who hasn't had, this material world is full of pain and trauma.
Right.
You know, I mean, who hasn't had that? Yeah. But the goal of life is to, that it's your attitude towards things. In other words, even if pain and suffering comes, you just say, hey, this is what, you know, the divine couple want me to go through. And you're completely peaceful.
Mm-hmm. I got you.
But there is I just want to mention, there is a saintly personality. Her name is Shamarani. And if you want to get in contact with her, she lives in Miami and she has a small little ashram there.
I'd love to.
I've read her hands since 1983.
Wow.
And she is a 100% pure devotee. And I'm not just saying that, that word, oh, ascended master and, you know, guru is thrown around so much. It's just, sometimes it is a bit irritating, you know, but this woman actually is.
She's the real deal.
And there's hundreds of people walking around this planet who are pure saintly people, but people don't recognize them. They don't know what to look for. So they can't recognize them. That's the problem. Well, but there's hundreds, you know, it's said in the Vedic literature, you know, the problem is that there's so much sin in this material world that if there wasn't devotees walking this planet, the planet would implode because of the welter of sin.
So these
saintly people, they do their mantras, they do devotional service, and they burn up all the sin that everybody's creating.
That's fascinating. It really is. So, Mr. Vernon Mahabal, you are just a gem, my friend. It's always such a great time to spend with you. I appreciate this. And, thanks for coming on the air. And thanks for your sharing your life's journey, your experience to try to help our journey in life a much better place. So thanks for that. Hey, everybody, Vernon's website's going to be in the description below. All right, you saw firsthand right there. Pretty fascinating conversation. Very fascinating, guys. So if you're connecting with what he's got going on, do click on this link and get connected with Vernon. He's a pretty special guy. So it's always good to see you. Thank you very much.
Stop praising me.
I love these conversations, man. Hey, you just taught us about how to do love, man.
I'm just very special guy.
You just went through this whole thing about how we should love. I'm just doing what you taught here. Hey, everybody, thanks for hanging out, and we love you also.
I love you guys.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you so much, and thank you for all you do. Thank you for all you do.
Oh yeah, we love it, man. It's a journey.
You are in the rays of God.
No, thanks,
and the goddess.
That's good to know. That's great.
You are in divinity.
Oh, thank you so much. And thank you, everyone.
You can pick it up.
Oh,
we appreciate that.
Thank you so much. And thank you, everyone, for tuning in. And remember, tune in often, tell all your friends, and most importantly, may all your dreams come true. Many blessings.
And get your palm read. Give it a go.
You guys are going to love it.
We'll see you all next time. Thank you.
I'd like to share a story. While it may sound fictional, it's very real and happening right now in front of our very eyes. It's called The Great Awakening. Our sisters and brothers that come on Spiritually Raw are doing everything to help expand global consciousness, and in many cases, putting everything on the line to share their messages about what's happening around the world for the greater good of humanity, while exposing the truth of the deep state and the dark forces behind it all. We are living in the most unbelievable times, some may even say biblical, scary for many and yet exhilarating for others. Together we are taking part in getting everyone acclimated to the Great Awakening process and the exciting new discoveries that lie ahead. The sad part is many of our amazing guests are being heavily censored, socially shamed, and outright banned on many platforms for exposing the truth and piercing the veil. By becoming a viewer, you bring your powerful energy towards this global movement of other truth seekers. If you're resonating with our show, please let us know by hitting the like button, sharing, subscribing, turn on the notification, and leave some comments. Together, we will turn the universal key to global harmony and create a unified world. And remember, tune in often, tell all your friends, and most importantly, may all your dreams come true. Hi, everybody. April and Jay here from Spiritually Raw. Welcome to Spiritually Raw Secrets to Broadcasting Riches. Now, you're probably wondering, why did you guys put this course together? Well, this is truly a compilation of all of our experiences, our ups, our downs, our pitfalls, what's worked, what hasn't worked over the past 10 years. And the number one question that we continually get literally to this day is, how are you guys making money broadcasting? So we figured we'd put together a course, because there's no better time than right now for everyone to get off the bleachers and start speaking to help raise the vibration of the planet. So we put together a course that is so easy to follow, but not only is it very easy to follow and it's our experiences, but in the course, you're going to meet 10 other people that took it along with us. They are in the journey. You're going to hear about their wins, their losses, their successes, their pitfalls, and what's preventing them or has prevented them from making money in the media world.
So in addition to that, we also understand the fact that we wanted to bring this element to the Secrets to Broadcasting Riches to you. So for those of you who are very serious about saying, okay, I need to give this a go. I got a voice out there. It's time for me to let that voice loose and share my truth with people. And you also need to know, okay, well, how do I do this so I can support my family and make a business out of this, right? So we also tie in the spiritual aspect of it. So in the course, you will learn the specific steps that April and I use that we connect with at a divine level to get that inspiration that really fuels us on a day-to-day basis, that really gives us the creativity we need, that gives us the direction we need, and really also taps us into our future selves to give us the roadmap so we know that we know with predictability what the outcome of these are going to look like. And you will get that same essence and same feeling as we go through this together.
Now, this course is for everyone. If you're a beginner and you have absolutely no idea where to start, or you've been at it, it could be for months or years, and you're not gaining any financial traction. The easiest way to get to where you want to be is find people or a mentor or experts in the area that you are looking to become an expert in, and model what they're doing and model what they've done in the past. And this is exactly verbatim what we have done in this master course.
We've done this for 10 years. We've taken a lot of that out of the way for you, so you don't have to go through that same journey that we have. Okay, you can just go right there, pass go, collect your $200, and hopefully a lot more out of it. Cut out all the fat and everything that comes along with it. This is a really great time. Right now, we need people out there. We need people out there that are expressing their voices, because as you know, this is what your truth is, what will raise the vibration of the planet. And if we can collectively raise this vibration together, we are going to manifest everything that we're hearing out there. And so do your part. If this is on your radar right now to have your own show, to continue your own show and really give it a blast off, take this course. You really want to take this course because it will give you every specific step that you need. And if you like our style, which you know you probably are right now because you're watching it, and much love and thank you for that, then just, we're sharing everything with you. We're putting it all out there for you. So click on the link below.
You know what though?
Yeah.
Don't take our word for it. Forget about everything we just said. All you have to do is go down and watch all the testimonials of the people that have already taken the course. And then make your own decision from there.
Yeah.
All you have to do is watch the testimonials, click the link, and away you go. Much love to each and every one of you, and many blessings.
We'll see you next time. Thank you.